LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. You know, I just love that intro, Monroe King, that she does for me, my jingle. I need to get that as my ringtone, Monroe King. How you loving, Monroe? Well, y'all, you know I love the saying, how you loving, and you know that with how you loving comes Valerie Love. And Valerie Love is going to be on the show tonight because we are talking about life on fire. Is your life on fire? In a good way. Not that itchy kind of way where you need an antibiotic, but a good way. Well, you're going to let it flow. So tonight on Max and Friends, we're going to talk about life on fire. What does it mean? What is it in your belly, in your heart that makes you want to love and live life on fire? We're going to take life to the max tonight on Max and Friends. This is a life class. So do tweet me at Max Tucci, hashtag life class, hashtag Max and Friends, and let's have a good time. Right now, we're going to play a song just to get the mood going. Not that it isn't already, but you know how I love to get the mood going with music because there's something about music that just brings you to another place. And then we're going to bring you right back to Max and Friends. But right now, this girl is on fire. I'm Max and Friends.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than the fantasy, longer than a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Feeling the catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Say, oh, she got both feet on the ground and she's burning it down.
This girl is on fire, and tonight we've got the one that knows how to create the fire, how to light the fire, how to ignite the fire. She's my friend, and she's back on the show because she's your friend too, Reverend Valerie Love. How you loving?
How you loving, Max Tucci? Thank you for inviting me back. Oh my goodness, I love coming here with Max and Friends.
You know, you are part of the inner circle, Max and Friends inner circle, and we love you. Listeners love you, and now you're just like, you're on fire.
I'm on fire.
So what
I am
does it mean?
On fire.
What does it mean to be life on fire and to get that beautiful spark going? What does it mean?
Well, you know, Max, what kicked this whole thing off was Prince crossing over to the other realm. That's what kicked off the whole life on fire movement for me. I call it Project Purple Bridge.
Okay.
Because when he left, they lit the Empire State Building purple. They lit the Eiffel Tower purple. They lit Niagara Falls purple. They lit every bridge in Minnesota purple. And it was shocking for us to see him swiftly go out like that. Mm-hmm. Yet I do believe that he fulfilled his destiny on this planet. And that got me fired up. That got me really fiery on a whole new level. Because Prince was close to me in age. He was born in the 50s. I've been born in the 60s. And it's like something close to you happens. And it's like, oh, wow. I got to live this life now.
Yeah.
Not next year. Yeah.
Now. You know what happens when contemporaries start passing. But here's the thing. Because I think also, you know, this has been a topic not only since Prince, but death in general. Everyone thinks it's just the finality of life. But yet, if you, what's your legacy? And his, you know, obviously is still ringing through the ears of so many. The Billboard Awards happened. Madonna did a tribute to him. You know, so it's like all of these things are happening. And he's not even here, but his energy is felt. So why is it, and we're going to talk about Life on Fire, but why do you think it is that people get inspired by death?
It brings us face to face with our own mortality. That's mm-hmm. what it did for me. It brought me face to face with Valerie. You're not going to be here forever. What are you creating? What will light up when you pass on? What will they say? What's your obituary to say of the life you lived here? What's your dash? You know, that dash in between 1961 and whatever that year is that's at the end. What's your dash? Because your life is about your dash.
You know,
and it gave me a sense of urgency.
Absolutely. But that word to dash means like in an instant, right?
Right.
So when you see, when you really understand the word dash and the definition of dash, it rings deeper than just between two dates, you know? I want to pull up the definition of dash right now.
It's like running, right?
Right?
It's like you take off in a fast run.
Dash, runner travels somewhere in a great hurry. And that's what we really have to do in this life. Don't you agree? That's why it has to be on fire.
Gotta be on fire.
Yeah.
Gotta be on fire. And you know what I found? The only thing that gets you on fire like that is some big vision mm-hmm. that draws you out of your own life. That's way bigger than your own life. Because some people can't get fired up about their own life mm-hmm. because our life is our life and we're pretty familiar with it.
Patterns and pathology.
Indeed.
Right? We got to burn them.
Woo! We got to get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Love this show because fire represents so many things, and so does burning, and so does, you know, there's so much that could happen with fire and so much that happens because of fire. So tonight on Max and Friends, my guest is Valerie Love. We're burning the past so our life could be on fire right now. What's the dash mean to you in between the day you were born and the day you're going to die? You know, it's a date, Valerie Love. It's a date that nobody knows. You
no,
know,
and we have no idea.
It, we have no idea. And that's the beauty of it. You know, this has been a conversation this week. And we've been talking about death in the essence of if you knew that you were going to die on this day, what would you do? So mm-hmm. what is it that you're doing?
I have given myself to the vision to make this world a different place by addressing the children on the planet. We have a billion children living in abject poverty on the planet. 2.2 billion children on the planet now, I found out when I was in India, and a billion of them live in abject poverty. And one of the things that comes out of that is child trafficking. Mm-hmm. Because if it's between eat food or sell our daughter, well, we got to sell a daughter to even live and survive. Mm. So that becomes an okay exchange to make. And we could really create a world of abundance where that doesn't happen anywhere. It's not even a thought that occurs in anyone's mind.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Because we have fed into the virus in humanity's mind of not enough. Mm. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough food, not enough resources. It's an absolute lie.
Yeah.
There's no truth.
And you know what I love about you? Because you call a thing a thing. And I see you.
Only about
I see you. I see you on Periscope doing your thing. And the other day, it was like this, you know, this Angel Noir, she done her thing. And you were talking about abundance. And you're like, I have strawberries. There are an abundance of strawberries. If I want more strawberries, I can go on the market. And then I'm looking around, just life in general. So this was the inspiration from that. I looked around and I said, in my house, I have some flowers that I took from outside, some beautiful frangipani, right? And I probably have about like 10 or 15 of them floating in a bowl. And then I look out at the tree and there's even more and more. Then I look around and I'm like, all right, that's just the flower. But now let's look at the leaf. And then when I saw the leaf, there were millions of leaves. I live in Florida, tropical Florida. There is an abundance of everything. We just need to stop and notice the abundance. So with that said, how do we notice the abundance and
shift the focus? Oh my God. Shift the focus to what's here and not to what's not here. So many people are in this endless quest of what they don't have. I got to get the next. They're future oriented rather than drawing the attention to the now moment and saying, now I've got breath in my body. I've got life in my spirit, in my being. I've got energy. I've got health. I've got wealth. I've got a great relationship. I've got great relationships. Whatever you have.
Right.
Now.
Whatever you have. Now, here's the thing, because we're a culture that's based on, I think, the next best thing. Wouldn't you think so?
Yes. Now, gotta get more.
And the thing is, there. And then when we have it, we don't realize we have it.
You have it. Most people have everything. Everybody's always got everything they need. But most people have an excess even beyond what they need. Most of us really do have an excess.
Okay, so how do we adapt igniting the flame within us to acquire the abundance that we already have, that is in us? How do we get that fire lit to say, you know what? I've got this abundance.
We have the abundance, and for me, the way it worked was, or the way that I ignited it, was in service. Because we do not know the wealth that is buried inside our own soul when we keep it to ourselves or when we're just sharing it with friends and family. But go out and serve the masses. Serve people like I decided I would serve people for 90 days every day on Periscope, every single day, come hell or high water, every afternoon for 90 days straight. I'm just going to pour out into the world more value than I've ever poured out before on everything that I know in personal and spiritual development. And it is incredible that you find in service, as you're giving and pouring forth, that huge, infinite well of good within your own being.
Say that again.
Yes, in service, we tap into the infinite well of good within our own being.
Now, what's in your infinite well of well-being?
The infinite well is joy, it's peace, it's humor. You know, when me and you get on the phone and say, how you love it? You know, it's that juice of life, that deliciousness, that delectableness of life. It's all in the well. The joy, the health, the wealth, it's all in the well. Success, anything you want, it's in the well. Draw it up.
Yep, draw it up. Now, you know, visually, I could see this well and everything in it. You know, I have a beautiful dream pot, right? And I write my dreams down because I love daydreaming. You know, my power talk, Gordana Biernat taught us about daydreaming and how we need to daydream some more. And I write my daydreams and I put them in this pot. Literally, I pulled them out the other day. And you know how many of them manifested? Because the thought happened, then I wrote it down, then I put it in the well to pull it back out, right?
Yes.
So how do we get people to get their life on fire to say, you know what? I've got to start really living in the now. Give us some steps.
First step, pause and breathe. I find that most of us don't breathe. Pause, breathe. Pause before you get in the car. Take a moment and pause before you take off driving. We run to the car. We take off driving. Get into the car. Pause.
Breathe. So step one, pause and breathe. And that's the same thing we do when we wake up. We wake up and the first, we don't even breathe. We don't even say thank you. We just automatically go on our phones. What's happening?
Yeah.
Pause and
jump in the email.
I always say, if you have 10 minutes to meditate, take 20. Right?
And if you're too busy to meditate, sit for 2 hours.
Right. Or four. All right. So number one, we're going to pause and breathe. This is how we're going to shift, everybody. And we're going to get our life on fire. Fire in the sense where we are here to create, to be bold, to be who we're supposed to be authentically. First thing, pause and breathe. What's the second thing?
Pause and breathe. What's your intention? Set the intention. Even for the day, it, you know, Abraham Hicks calls it segment intending, When the telephone rings, pause and breathe. And as you get ready to pick up the telephone, what's my intention for this telephone conversation? Mm-hmm. Some people, when you see them calling, you probably won't pick up the phone because you know what the conversation is going to be like.
Oh, bless that caller ID.
We just send them a silent prayer. Right. Blessed be you, right? You know, set that intention. What is my intention in doing this? Intention fuels the whole universe. It powers the whole universe because the universe is always asking two questions. What do you want? Why do you want it? And it takes care of everything else. The when, the where, the how, the who. It takes care of all of that. Mm. It's only asking you, what do you want? Why do you want it? That's your intention.
That is your intention. So that's first intention. Step, we've got to breathe. Second intention. You know, we were talking about caller IDs just now. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we had a call? That's the breath right there is the caller ID because you have to look at it. So what is right?
Indeed.
That's where
yes.
we take that breath and look at the caller ID. So what is your caller ID saying, people? What is your caller ID saying to life? What is your life calling you to say? And can you identify it? Ooh, we just took caller ID to a whole other level.
You right? just made it metaphysical. You just made caller ID metaphysical. I like
right?
it.
Right? But that's yes. what it is. Because if we can have a caller ID for someone who's calling us, right? The yes. divine is constantly calling us, but we don't that's know right. how to identify with what he's saying or what it's saying or what the universe is saying. So we need to pause, have intentions, and then what do we need?
Third, take action to serve. Take action to serve. People are so busy trying to take action to build their thing. Me, me, me. Come into my company. Come into my coaching practice. Buy my book. Get my stuff. Well, we don't know if people want your stuff. True?
Isn't that the truth?
Right. Let's serve first. Right. See what the people want. And then give it to them, provide it to them if you can. And if it's not in your purview to provide, direct them to someplace where they will receive it. You got to serve.
Got to serve.
You got to serve.
Now, yes. you're serving right now. Like you said, you're doing your thing. And serving, you know, there's so many different ways to serve. And
oh, billions of ways. As many as there are people, billions and
billions
trillions of ways.
And there's a great way, just not too long ago, girlslovemail.com, M-A-I-L, people. And it's you can simply start with that, writing a letter. It's for women who are newly diagnosed with breast cancer. We have the guest on Tina, and she, you know, she wrote a book, and then she just like she started this nonprofit where you could write a letter, dear sister, dear friend, and just encourage someone. It's so simple, right?
That's awesome.
And that's the
yes,
that's right there. That's one of the billions. So, what are some ways that you serve, Valerie Love?
Well, I always say share and serve from who you are, from your gifts, your passions, your abilities, your skills. Mm-hmm. Share yourself and what you've learned with the world because you went through some things, right? All of us went through some things, are going through some things. And if we simply share our story, that's the first way that we can serve people. Share your story and how you overcame it. Now, don't share your story and telling us that you got this problem, that problem, the other problem. Share your story in such a way that it's empowering and that it inspires people to overcome their challenges. Mm. Yes?
Yes. My guest tonight is Reverend Valerie Love. Y'all can go right now to valerielove.com. We're here on Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. If you want to follow us, go to Twitter at Max Tucci. Tweet me there for sure. You know, I love you all when you tweet me. And if you want to go and see what's going on in the life of Valerie Love, well, you can go to Twitter there, too. And you can go to Angel Noir number 10. Angel Noir 10. I'll tweet it after the show so you all know who I'm talking about. But tell us your story, Valerie Love, and how you came to a point where literally you empower people daily.
I love it, Max. And I tell you, I was born in the 60s in a little tiny hospital in the middle of Harlem, New York City. The hospital isn't even there anymore, to a 19-year-old mother in the 60s who was not married, living at home with her mother and father. Now, if you had come into that delivery room when I was born and you looked at the wall, right? If you hit the middle of the hood,
the
a
energy.
Teenage mom. In the 60s, do you remember? Well, you don't remember what that's like. You were too young. However, back in those days, it was not okay to have a kid and not be married. Mm-hmm. That was not okay. And people had a lot of names to call people that did that and names they called the children who came of those
experiences. And the vibrations that come with that is so skank.
Oh, my goodness, indeed. And her mother and father, she lived with her mother and father, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And in the same building, it was a little tenement in Harlem, New York City. So if you look at the beginning of my life, where I began, and if you had read the handwriting on the wall, nothing in the handwriting in the wall would have said that I would become a person that I am today, that travels the world, has been to Africa, China, Taiwan, Bali, India, Abu Dhabi, almost all of the islands in the Hawaiian Islands, traveled this country, traveled throughout the Caribbean, inspiring people, being the author of 11 books. Nothing would have said that anything like that would have come of my life.
So what shifted?
There was an opening that I had when I turned 30. Because as you know, I came up as a Jehovah's Witness from age 4 to age 30. For 26 years, I was hanging out with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I was deeply indoctrinated into that clan, I would call it. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I had a soul-opening experience at the age of 30 where I almost took myself out with a bottle of pills. And I had to wake up and say, what am I really going to do with my life? And my soul said, you have a choice, live or die. You can take yourself out if you want to. Or you could live. And we don't mean live as in scratch by survive. We mean live like really live, like life on fire.
Like life on fire.
Life on fire.
All right. Now, let's go back to that day, if we can, because, you know, there's so many people where that day is a real thing for them who are listening, where you were sitting there. It was you and that bottle of pills.
Oh, yes.
What was going through your mind, through your heart? I know you just told us, but really, like, because people are, I feel it. I feel that people are listening tonight that are in that position.
So I was depressed.
You're there. What brought you to that point?
I was deeply depressed. They say it was postpartum depression because I just had my second child. Mm-hmm. I had a boy who was three and my son who's three, my daughter who was an infant, and I was nursing her. And I always say if I wasn't nursing her, I don't know how that child would have survived because I certainly didn't even have it in me to make bottles. Mm-hmm. That's how bad off I was. I was late plastered in the bed. With the you know, the blinds drawn, the curtains drawn like Dracula. And I was having a hard time of life because I was living a life that was inauthentic. Mm. I didn't want to be in the religion anymore. And I didn't know how to tell the people around me that this is not me. I didn't want to be in the relationship I was in anymore. I was suffocating. Mm. And I had to do something. I knew I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. And that's when my soul stepped up and gave me four simple commands. It was an incredible day. When I was at that point, reaching out into the medicine cabinet, I was looking at these big 800 milligram Motrin pills that they had given me because of having the baby to take care of the pain. And I was just thinking, how many would it take for me to just go to sleep and not wake up? The thought scared me so much, and that I was, you know how you see yourself leaning like over a cliff? Mm. It scared me so much that what whipped me back from the edge of the cliff was my babies. I was like, oh my God, what would happen to the babies? What would happen to my three-year-old and my baby?
So life
I didn't care about
back.
Mama, daddy. Yeah. I didn't care about husband. I didn't care about any of them. I can't leave my babies.
Your creation.
Yes. Yes. Mm. And they whipped me back from the edge and they gave me my soul stepped forward and it gave me four simple commands. It said, get up. So like day or two, I was just frazzled. I was just at my wit's end. And the voice said, get up. And I got up out the bed and it said, go outside. Now that was a monumental task because just to even get myself dressed and in the shower, that was a big deal. That's how heavy my entire body felt. So, okay, go outside. My God, that means I got to actually go and pick out something to wear other than these sweatpants and this t-shirt I just throw on and stay in for days. You know, I was just there. And I tell you, I got up, I went outside. It said, breathe. And I breathed. It was like something opened up. And it said, walk. And I began to walk and something lifted my head up, like, look up. And I've been walking ever since.
Walking ever since.
Ever since.
Now that day that happened, did you tell anybody shortly after?
No, I didn't know what was happening to me. I knew something was happening to me from the inside, I didn't know what it was. I certainly wasn't going to talk about it because nobody in my circle would have even understood what I was talking about. They already were speaking about me in hushed tones behind my back. You know how people in your family that love you, they speak in hushed tones behind your back? Like, I've never seen her like this. What's, I don't know what to do. You know, my husband was calling my mom, do something. My mom was sending me letters because we lived, you know, out of town by that time. They didn't know what to do with me. So I certainly couldn't talk to anybody in my circle about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are in that place, in that solitude.
Yes.
In that solitude. But that solitude, you know, we're never really alone, though. That's the beautiful.
No, that's a beautiful place to be, because that's when I discovered the voice.
Right.
That the voice was talking to me from the inside. And up until then, for 30 years of my life, for 26 years of my life, I had been conditioned that everything's supposed to come to you outside. You do what the religion tells you to do. You do what mama says, daddy says, society says, the law says.
You know, it's funny. Alan Watts has a quote that says, I owe my solitude to other people.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes.
But sometimes it's good to be in that solitude because that's where you could be still and know, right?
Indeed. And well, listen to the voice.
And listen to the voice. Well, I loved in that moment to be still and know. And I also love to be in the moment where we let it flow. So right now on Max and Friends, we're going to play a little song for you. And when we're back, Valerie Love is joining me, and we're talking about life on fire, and we're just talking about life in general. So come back and join us here on Max and Friends. We'll be right back.
Sometimes love
What a song that was. Indeed, indeed. Well, tonight, Valerie Love is my guest. You can go to valerielove.com, and you already know who she is by now, because she is everywhere. So, all right, Valerie Love, we were talking about breathing intentions and taking action. Those are some of the steps we need to do to get our life on fire. Now, let's talk about the people who already are in the blaze, right? Because there's always that glorious when it's glorious when you're in the blaze, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Dancing in that flame. Right?
Now, how do we stay in it?
Ooh, for me, daily spiritual practice. We got to be in that daily spiritual practice, that practice of waking up in the morning, prayer, meditation. For me, it's prayer, meditation, chanting, reading inspirational books, filling my mind and spirit with inspiration. I live on inspiration. That keeps me in the fire. You know, and Max, as we were talking earlier about the well, I saw that really beautiful deep well. And when you draw up water from the well, and if it goes through the fire of the heart, you create steam and you got a whole nother power now
That's
at
right.
your disposal. Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, Valerie Love, I just love you.
Oh, I love
right?
you.
Life
well,
on
Max.
Fire, steaming ahead.
Steam
All right.
it.
So we're in this because I see this often with people. You know, I see it with myself too. We get into that flow. Everything is amazing. We've got it going. We're on fire, right? Mm-hmm, and then someone comes along and tries to put that fire out. And they try to put that fire out. Notice I said the word try, right?
Try, yes.
But in fact,
yes.
It does sometimes set people back. So
it does, yeah.
Stay in inspiration. What else can we do to keep us going, to keep that steam, that train, that locomotive train going?
Going. You know what I've found as a coach, a spiritual life coach, is that when things get too good, we tend to stop ourselves by some self-sabotaging action or experience because we're just not used to life in that very rarefied air. We're not used to it being so good. So we make up something that's not good. So what I do as an ongoing practice and what I really hold to is this practicing the vibration of bliss all the time. Mm-hmm. Like you can just be in bliss all the time. Why dip into anything else? Just stay in bliss.
How do we stay in bliss?
Practice, practice, practice.
We gotta do our work.
Gotta do the work.
Okay.
You gotta do the work. You know, practice it when you're walking outside. You know, ask yourself, "Ooh, is this bliss? Ooh, let me feel into bliss." I just play with it. It's like a ball you play with. We learned how to think badly. We can learn how to be different.
Shifting the paradigm. We have to shift the paradigm. What does bliss mean to you?
Well, Max, I'm so glad you asked that question because a sister of mine took me on a journey in this experience of going to source. And I said, are we going like to the soul? She said, beyond. I said, she's a practitioner of this amazing thing that I don't even know what to call it. And she said, okay. And so we went into her space and we did the meditation. She took me all the way up. Max, when I say all the way up, like past all these realms and dimensions. And when I got all the way up there, you know what was up there? It wasn't a man up there. It was no boss of the universe. That's for sure. So that kind of killed the God paradigm for me. It was very earth shattering. But what was up there was this infinite bliss. It was infinite bliss. And Max, in the infinite bliss was everything and no thing. It was all this potential. It was everything and no thing all at the same time. It was pure bliss. That was it. It was nothing else. And it was intelligent and it was a very loving feeling, but I couldn't even call it love. I call it bliss because it was beyond anything I've ever experienced, even in those moments of bliss that we have. It's like an orgasmic state that stays like that.
Okay. But, you know, it's true because, and the thing is, to define bliss is like trying to define the divine. We only know bliss as what we were told bliss is until we see bliss as something else.
Yes.
Right?
And experience it. Yes.
So you experienced bliss in a whole new way.
I experienced it. Yes.
Okay, we got to have your friend on the show.
Oh my goodness, Reverend Danielle Willard.
Okay.
Well, I call her by her maiden name. Her married name is Reverend Danielle Randall, and she is at Reverend Danielle Randall, I believe, .com or coaching by Reverend Danielle
we
Randall.
Will She's on the show.
Have her on the show. She's amazing. Show.
Okay, so now that you experience bliss in a whole nother level, yes. How do you bring it back to the reality of life?
That's a great question, Max, because for about 2 days after that experience, I was walking around feeling like I was totally useless, like drool was coming down my chin or something. Like, what's it all for? You know, when you have these very mind expanding experiences and you come back to the world and it's like, get in a car. What's that about? Like, yeah. You're looking at everything like a bug.
But listen, here's the reality, because it's like a drug, you know, and this is why people yes. do drugs, because they want to stay in that place. So they need to be there. But you know what? The bliss is bigger than any drug you'll ever have. Right?
Yes,
so
indeed.
How do we bring the bliss back to reality?
That was my practice vibration, the practice of the bliss. Because when I was up there, I realized that the bliss is inside me and we're all made of it. Mm-hmm. It's inside us. So the access to it is ever present, always. You always have access to it. All of us do. So I decided I would just access it more, you know, access that bliss inside and just simply say, I'm going to live bliss. Today will be bliss. Every moment is bliss. Yeah, yeah.
It is. It is. It's consciously creating bliss.
Yes. Because it's what we are.
It is.
Yes.
Bliss is what we are.
It sounds like a beautiful new song.
Right?
Yes. It's what we are.
Okay, so now you've got, we're staying in the fire. So for you, yes. it's inspiration, prayer, meditation. And then bliss works for you. What's another step we can take to stay in the fire, to be encouraged rather than discouraged?
That service piece is so important for me, because when you serve, something very magical happens. You come out of your own little paradigm mm-hmm. of the world. And every time that I've served, every time that I've gone anywhere with the intention to serve, no matter how much I gave, I got the blessing. When I went to Africa, I thought I was going there to serve, mm-hmm. right? I got the blessing because I saw children. I saw, you know, in a village that had held the same pen mm-hmm. from the last year that the same group was there, who goes every year in February, the same pen. Mm-hmm. Now, how many pens do we go through in one day? How many?
I have about 5,000 right here on my desk.
On the desk. Imagine, and if you got on a plane right now and took that cup of 5,000 pens mm-hmm. over to that vessel of 5,000 pens mm-hmm. over to one village in Africa where they don't have pens, and maybe where they can't write, mm-hmm. you know, get education in school. They just have to kind of listen. Mm-hmm. And you gave those pens out, you'd be the new hero. Oh my God. And how would you feel? Mm. How would you feel? Now, that's better than buying a new Mercedes. I love a Mercedes. You know, buy that if you want to. It's not ever going to give you that same feeling. Mm-hmm. Not ever.
For a moment.
Right.
For you a moment.
Temporary
but
bliss.
We want to carry the bliss with us. And that's a way to carry yes. the bliss is to give.
Give. Serve.
Yeah. Serve.
Serve people. Mm. Yes.
Now, it's interesting that I find, you know, in this conversation that we're having tonight on Max and Friends, my guest is Valerie Love. You were at the brink of suicide. What brought you back was your children. And now mm-hmm. children are inspiring you to keep going.
Oh, my goodness. They're taking me to a whole new level. When I see the little kids, you know, Max, this came to me as an unfolding revelation. I didn't notice it at first. You ever see recurring themes in your life? And then one day you go, duh. Mm-hmm. Well, what was I not paying attention? But they stay in there. You still mm-hmm. have to. And they're pointers. They're mm-hmm. pointing to show you the way to a higher life, like bigger life than I ever dreamed.
To bliss.
Bliss. Bliss. And I was in Mexico and I saw this lady standing on a corner, and she had like 5 kids around her. She had a baby strapped to her. They were all her children. Mm-hmm. And they were probably 5 kids under the age of 9. And she had taught them to beg and to sell these little tiny trinkets. And one of them said, Miss, dollar, because they all know Miss and dollar mm-hmm. everywhere around the world, everywhere, no matter what language the children speak.
It's a pattern that needs to be broken.
Yes. If they see an American, they know miss and they know dollar. And that's what, and I was reaching in my purse and my partner at the time, he said to me, don't you dare take a dollar out and give it to these kids because next thing you know, you'll be surrounded. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a heartless thing to say. How can I not give a dollar to this child on a, and sure enough, I took out the dollar and I was swarmed with like little kids.
Like moth to a flame.
And that was one defining moment. I'm like, okay, why am I seeing this? Why am I the one experiencing this? I go to India, you know, and I'm coming out of the temple in India. It was an incredible experience in India. We're in the temple and we're, all these things going on. We've had the ash on the head and it's just incredible. And we come out and there's this little boy who's barefoot and he's saying to me, miss, miss. He comes to me. Now there's like 20 something of us that came out of the temple all together, all in the same group. He comes straight to me, miss, dollar, dollar. And I pray and I look and I'm thinking, why am I here? You ever ask yourself those questions? Like, why am I here now?
That's a question that I think everybody asks on a regular basis. Why am I here?
Yes.
So why
am I seeing this? I was seeing it because Spirit was giving me the opportunity to give my life to the service of children. Mm-hmm. Children saved me. Now I can save children. Mm-hmm. It just dawned on me, and I've always loved children, and children are my heart. I have two grandbabies that I absolutely adore. They've always been in my heart. So when I saw that little boy and he said, Miss Dollar, not long after that is when one of Dr. Pillai's amazing, amazing community members shared with me that there are 2.2 billion children on the planet. A billion of them live in abject poverty, many of them in India. Many of them going to bed at night not knowing what they will eat tomorrow or if they will eat tomorrow. And she said, those children are my heroes. She says, because they get up every morning and face the day, many of them without a mother because she's off somewhere working, without a father because he might have drunk himself into oblivion, and maybe a grandmother that can't walk in a little shanty on the side of the road, and yet they get up every day and meet the day. Wow. What can you do with all that you have?
It's taking the step.
Wow. Yes.
Taking the step.
That fired me up. Does that fire you up? That fires
to the point where I'm so quiet.
You feel the burn, right?
Yes.
You feel the burn inside. Like, you know, when the light bulb goes off and you look at the world and you say, I can do something about that. Mm-hmm. And then you set about doing it. And you have no idea how you're going to do it when you start. The Spirit did give me the first step. The first step is to support women in healing their inner child because we have an outcry from the children on the planet, which is an outpicturing of the inner child being wounded. Therefore, we have wounded outer children. It's very simple. I said, wow, that was incredible.
You know, and it's so true. And that's, I think, the point when we desire to do something and we don't know how we're going to do it, that's when we really manifest things happening.
Yes.
Because when we know how to do it, we don't do it. Right?
True.
When we know how to do it, we don't do it. But when you don't know how to do something, there's a desire in you to figure it out. So what gave you the desire to figure it out?
It was a television statement I heard, Max, that as you said, silent, I was stunned into paralysis for a second. I was getting ready, literally. I was getting ready in the morning, about to take my daughter to school, and I was still with my husband at the time, and he had the television on. I never watched television in the morning. It was a little irritating even that the television was on in the morning because those morning shows, they like to intersperse the blood and guts and gore in between their daily coffee stuff, right? So I just don't like to start my day that way. But there was something that came across that television that day that I will never forget. It said, our next story, women in India who sleep with in brothels, who sleep with a man without a condom for $2 and with a condom for $1. News, that's our next story coming up. Just that fast, I stopped right where I was. Stunned. Like, you ever hear something that you say, what was that? Whoa, wait a minute, rewind. What was that I just heard? And in that moment, while I stood, I tell you, I can remember where I was standing. When I stood in that spot, I heard the voice again. It said, you can do something about that. Wow. That's what the voice said. You can do something about that. And it didn't have judgment. It didn't have a have to. It was like an invitation. Mm-hmm. It was like an ability. It was like a potentiality.
It was like a heart virtue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You can do something about that.
And you did. Wow. And you're doing.
Yes, I am. Oh, absolutely.
How many years later is this now?
This has got to be, that might have been about 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm on fire.
It's a passion.
It's an absolute passion.
It's a passion. And, you know, absolutely. I think also that's what the show is about tonight. It's about passion. It's about living life on fire and what we're here to do. Because we could sit back and do nothing, which is doing something. Or we could be a little more proactive. I'm not judging anybody. Do what y'all want. But for me, I'm like my guest Valerie Love. We love to take action. So tonight on Max and Friends, we hope this show really resonates with you about life on fire, because I know that there's been some things, I've been writing things down too, so I'm going to tweet after the show for sure. But we're going to wrap this show up. This is how fast it goes.
So fast, Max. You are time warping time for sure.
It's just that illusion of time.
Right? It's just an illusion.
And that's, you know what, when we gather here to just have a good time, in essence of words, you know, that's when it's just like sparks are flying, life on fire. So I hope that there were some sparks that have, you know, it's like the embers that come off of the fire. I hope they've attached onto you tonight. And this week, when you go into the week, know that you have the opportunity to get up and do something. What is some last wisdom words of wisdom you want to give our listeners tonight, Valerie Love?
Your life is bigger than you. Live it like it's bigger than you. Your life is bigger than you. And I would offer to say that your life is not even about you at all. Your life really is about who you're serving, how you're changing the world, what your destiny is, and how surrendered you are to the real you.
That's a new show. Surrender to the real you. All right, you're gonna come back on. For sure.
Oh,
for sure.
I love it.
All right, I'm gonna leave you all with a quote from my friend Gordana Biernat at My Power Talk. Worrying is unintentional creation of your future. Daydreaming is intentional creation of your future. The choice is yours. So I hope tonight on Max and Friends you make the choice to daydream a little, because in those daydreams you might find your purpose. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. Valerie Love is my guest. You can go to valerielove.com because there's some great things that she always does, money magic, some events happening there. And if you feel like you have a connection to Valerie Love, hit her up. Valerie Love, it's always a pleasure to have you here on Max and Friends.
Thank you, Max. My pleasure.
I'm gonna talk to you after the show.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everyone, have a great night. Have a great week. Remember to take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Good night and good karma. See y'all later. Talk to y'all later. Bye.